Spiraling inflation, acute shortage of housing, bitter labor disputes were complicated by rumblings of the Cold War with Russia. A menace, more frightening than Nazism, was seen by many as threatening our way of life. And therefore, it goes on to say that we should get ready for the Cold War because Russia was more menacing than Nazism. By 1946, Reinhard Gehlen had been in the United States 1 year, turning the OSS into the Central Intelligence Agency. The article from the Dallas Times-Herald on Pearl Harbor today begins with, let me just read you a few sentences, Honolulu. They came over the mountains down Diamond Head on their mission of death. They sunk the Arizona and the Oklahoma and the Utah. They killed 2,403 civilian soldiers, Marines, and they left with their first American blood of World War II oozing on the sands of early morning in Hawaii. It was 39 years ago today. Now, there's been new history books and documents to prove that Franklin Roosevelt knew in advance that Pearl Harbor was happening. J. Edgar Hoover was in correspondence with people. The military knew. The responsibility for Pearl Harbor was in Washington, D.C. And as long as history is written by Michael Carleton from the Dallas Times-Herald or the encyclopedias or anybody else, you can't set history right. If you don't know the United States armed Hitler and armed Japan, that we sent them the scrap metal, that we sent them everything that they needed because we hoped they would keep going into Manchuria and be a bulwark against Russia. And we knew when they were coming to get us as an excuse to get us into that war. We knew about Pearl Harbor, and we allowed 2,403 civilian soldiers, Marines, and sailors to be killed. It wasn't they alone. It takes two to tango. It always did, and it always will. There's a new book out. I just got it this week. A great book, it looks like. Heinrich Krüger, The Great Heron Coup. It briefly hits into all the bases that I've been doing for 17 years. The link of fascists to narcotic traffic, to colonial dignitat and the assassination teams, to Nazis and bank robberies that financed them, to Mitchell Werbel and his silencers, to Robert Vesco. It hits so many bases. I won't go into it now, but it also goes into the subject that I was doing on my radio tapes before I came back to KLRB in the past year when the men were taken hostage in Iran and the Shah left. And I've described constantly and consistently the narcotic war going on at the top levels. That when you get Richard Nixon or Jimmy Carter, or in this case, Ronald Reagan versus Jimmy Carter, what you're getting is two mob chieftains fighting for turf. One cuts off Turkey in 1971 and said, "You can't grow the poppy," when the people there support themselves by it, and then we buy it at another place and increase the Marseille connection. Or we cut off one country and give the traffic to another. Whoever is in the White House is part of what you call the Pepsi-Cola versus the Coca-Cola war or the narcotic traffic war. And if you draw charts and diagram it, the organized crime syndicate changes faces, and there are a lot of things that happen in a narcotics war. A lot of buildings that catch fire, a lot of arsons, a lot of bombings, a lot of railroads sabotage. The effect of a narcotics war just doesn't reach those top people at the very top level. It affects where you stay and where you are at the time that they decide to shoot or burn it out. Speaking of narcotics war, there's an article from the Associated Press yesterday. Ambassador Sinatra, a rumor in Rome. They're considering Frank Sinatra as the possible U.S. ambassador to Italy. Another article, Latin American drug barons are swimming in U.S. dollars and has to do with Peruvian cocaine. Many people accuse me of believing that every death or most deaths are conspiracies. No, the ones I talk about often are what I call untimely deaths or possible intentional murders. But one woman just died this week, past week, December the 1st, who lived an old age and was a political activist. She's one of those rarities among us. And I mention this to you because I want to bring up her name And also because some activists, as I say, do die in their sleep at an old age. This is Dorothy Day. She was 83 years old. She was jailed often. She was a fantastic political activist. I take her newspaper, The Catholic Worker Movement. I've been taking it for many years. And she was very close to Thomas Merton. That was a Trappist priest who was murdered in Southeast Asia. There's a new book about him, and I'll go into that later. She was a fine person, the finest that religion could produce. And she, if we had a lot more like her, then religion would be actually real and believable. It only is believable when you put it to use, and she was that kind of person. She did pass away last week. She was 83 and frail, but she worked up to the last, and many, many people will remember Dorothy Day and be grateful to her, just as I refer often to the group that fought the Lincoln Brigade in the Spanish Civil War against Franco, and also certain freedom fighters. One of them passed away this week, and I'll talk about him in Paris. Mr. Gary, the former husband of Jean Seberg, a sad double death at a time when they were beginning to expose the FBI and some of the ways those tentacles reach around the world and hurt all kinds of people. Dorothy Day died this week. It is the holidays, and before I go on further, I want to make some suggestions of gifts that you can give for the holiday. Of course, there's always books. And if you write to me, I'll send you a list of books that you can study the subjects that I talk about on this program. And all of you should at least own one of these. Some are paperbacks. They're not expensive. There's a big price range, but whatever you invest in them, you will get your money's worth. There's books on assassinations. Some books cover two or three assassinations in one book now. There's hundreds of books on the Kennedy assassination and about 40 good ones available. There's stories of the murder of Malcolm X, of Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, the murder of Mary Jo Kopechne at Chappaquiddick, the shooting of George Wallace, the Marilyn Monroe connections to John Kennedy and the Mafia, the spy connections, the OSS, the CIA, the National Security Agency. There's books on the FBI, the Fourth Reich, and the Nazi connections, the mind control connections, and these overlap. Each book that's a specialty by itself overlaps into all the other categories. The Patty Hearst mind control case linked to Operation Chaos coming out of Indiana again. The Charles Manson mind control, the cosmic connections and plans for space stations, the billionaire connections, the oil cartel connections, the Russian Tsarist connections, the Romanovs, Nosenko, Oswald, and the Moles, the arms connections in the secret governments, all linking back again to Galen and Germany, the ruling class connections, the secret governments, the shills, the stooges, the lackeys, and the money and banking corporations, who gains and who loses by these manipulations. There are many books in stock available on all of these subjects, and if they interest you, send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll write and give you information about titles of things that you're interested to follow through if you listen to this program every week and study it and want to know more. There is something you have to do besides listening for an hour a week. To be free, you have to fight for it, you have to study it, and you have to invest your energy and your time and put other things aside to study. There's no easy way to be free. I've never heard of it, and if there is one, let me know. Now, in addition to buying books, I saw in today's paper, in the Sunday paper, some other Christmas presents that might interest you. There's a fly shooter you can get for $5.98. You hold it like a gun and you spray it. It's a loaded plastic gun and it shoots from 3 feet away to fly. You can get a clock that goes backward for $21.98 and keep track of life that way. You can get a car, John, for $4.98 that you attach. Looks like a bell upside down that goes into a bottle if you're driving and don't want to stop at night. Or you can get a Frankenstein monster for $21.95, and he stands, you press a button by his feet, And you press that button, all of a sudden his pants drop and he's wearing lace panties and his hands go down to you know where and his eyes light up. He's $21.98. Or you can buy one of those invisible dog collars for $9.98 and make it look like you're walking your dog. And there's even talking refrigerator sets for $12.98 that you put inside when you open the door. It says, "You're eating again, no wonder you're fat." The one that worries me the most is the ad put in the back of the Liberty Lobby newspaper spotlight, ash cachet, the ash can for stoves and fireplaces that keeps the dust with the ashes, unique design of entry and holding a chamber to keep your ashes inside your can, $64 with a mail order. I just wonder, I empty my fireplace all the time and put the ashes in a plastic bag and take them out, but this ash cachet looks a little bit dangerous. I think of Auschwitz, and maybe I'm getting too paranoid, but for $64, you can put somebody's ashes in that box. I don't know who they intend that for. I hope during the weeks that you're watching the various arsons and tragedies that are going on, I don't have time tonight to go into all of those, but I don't want you to think I'm passing them by. That tragedy at White Plains, New York, where 26 died and 24 injured, the convention of the electronics company and Nestle's, the MGM Grand Hotel. Similar, there have been many articles of the mysteries and similarities of these two arsons. Four people have been murdered up at Point Reyes in California, and seven altogether have been dead, according to a fellow that calls in. He says he hears inner voices. That goes, again, into the mind control sections. I guess we can do a profile of this young killer when he surfaces, who's getting these hikers and people on the beach. He will have been in Vietnam or in the military. He would have spent some time in a mental hospital. He would have come from a wealthy family and worked for the federal government a short time, such as a postal clerk or other work or police department. And he's associated with people in the federal government at some level. And he complains that he's hearing voices and he's directed to do it. And he'll be like Son of Sam and all the other California mind control zombies, or Mr. Gacy in Chicago. When he surfaces, they'll tell you he's hearing these inner voices we're already getting from phone messages. Arson suspected in Monterey, the famous Fisherman's Wharf down here at Monterey last Sunday night. When I was on the air, that place, restaurant, was burning down, and they suspect arson. That was four doors from the tape center where these tapes, one set of them, are kept and duplicated. We keep tapes in a lot of places, in case you wonder, but there was a major one $0.75 million fire four doors from there. Another suspect, crazy mystery gunman, held in San Pablo in the east part of California. There's been a series of little fires, big fires, arsons continuously going on. Alongside the MGM article is a story where some articles, the future of MGM, I'm sure, after the fire. Another one, Kerkorian loses $68 million on his stock, the MGM Grand Hotel. Kerkorian was trying to gain control of Columbia Pictures Industries and lost $68 million at that fire. Another article, the second door in the MGM casino cage creates a flap. There was a door at the back of the hotel that some employees were glad to get through, but there wasn't supposed to be this second passage because it involves huge volumes of cash handled daily in the gambling industry. And when the fire came, according to one paper in the Los Angeles Times, they found a route for skimming money going out. So a lot of people were burned in that hotel, but I have every reason to believe that those 84 killed and many more burned and maimed are just part of the narcotic war described in the book that I'm talking about. And very visual if you begin through the years adding up what is happening and who is hitting the other person. You're going to see a lot of this as the transition team takes over. There will be more accidents and more spilling and more fires because these people know how to fight dirty, and we are the victims in the middle. The insurance rates go up and the lives are lost. There was a fire in a San Francisco warehouse last week. $500,000 damages. There were seven fires In Los Angeles, at the end of November, 322 homes burned, 50,000 acres in the forest. There were seven different fires, and they're looking for arson. A watershed alone cost $4 million. The rail collision in South Italy, 26 dead, 112 injured. These, again, are accidents just from the end of November, the last week in November, until today. Toll of South Korean airplane, November the 20th, crashed at the airport, 42 dead. Of course, the earthquake in Italy could not be prevented, but the mob has come in selling the coffins and the housing and is ripping the people off there. There was a fire in a Japanese hotel, November 23rd, 42 dead, 11 missing. It was only 55 rooms in four stories, and 42 people are dead. Isn't that a lot for a little dinky hotel? The FBI is working on a fire bombing in Reno, Nevada. They're still working on that at her Haraz Resort Hotel. The FBI can't find the bomber suspect where bombs went off at the Sacramento Airport, United Airlines, September the 9th. A wrecked truck spilled acid, November 27th in Coalinga, California. Gallons of carbolic acid and chemical fumes that could be lethal. Long Beach Peril, there was a fire where the Shell oil spilled and ignited, and a river of flames went down the street. Interesting, a big fire in a Warsaw hotel, November 27, 1980. 14 trucks arrived. The Warsaw hotel was a big hotel. The restaurant, again, was gutted like the restaurants in upstate New York and at MGM. And guess what? No one died and no one injured in the Warsaw hotel. Isn't that amazing that in Japan they could lose 42 people in a four-story hotel and 11 missing? And not one person died in Warsaw, Poland. A truck exploded in Kenner, Louisiana with gasoline. A Newark, New Jersey, an arson fire, $15 million fire involving bribery, arson, and the largest supplier of government office furniture in the U.S. Indian Trail, North Carolina, November 27th, 55 people injured. Aerosol can factory exploded. 240 passengers on a cruise ship outside of Seattle, Washington, were taken off a stricken ship. Another ship went out and under just recently up there. It was a Swedish ship. Point Reyes killing linked to Tamil Pais case. Again, I meant to bring that up before. They're trying to make these a ritualistic Manson type of murder where the psychological profile is coming in. And believe me, with all of these accidents and murders and spills, we'll get that Office of Emergency Service that Ronald Reagan and Nixon want so badly. Another fire on Cannery Row, a tragic fire out here that even made the New York Times, Steinbeck's famous Cannery Row. Officials believe arson the cause of a $1.5 million Cannery Row fire. We had Cannery Row, we also had the wharf last week. Cannery Row was bought by a member of the military and mob a long time ago. They bought this property and wanted to develop it so that local people that want to improve it, the restrictions were so high they couldn't do it, and they're trying to chase the local people out and make it a really big commercial project. Death car in Reno. A woman killed 6 and injured 25. This woman, again, had a very strange background. She was violently anti-Semitic. She worked for the Anti-Communist Ethics Foundation in Boise, Idaho. She blamed the Jews for many things that are going on in the world. And she was under psychiatric care in a Buffalo center where she talked about wanting to decapitate people and take a car and run into them and plow them down. So she comes out to Reno and takes a 1974 Lincoln Continental and drives through the busiest intersection and did a pretty good job. But she had a political background with an ex-husband who worked for the NAACP. She hated Jews, and I guess she hated his activity, and she did a very good job out there on the sidewalks of Reno tearing these people apart. And the derailment of another train in Illinois, an Amtrak train, and so forth. What about these arsons and fires? How many people die innocently? There was an article last week in the New York Times about selling property to a group of people and exposing organized crime links to the Beverly Hills Supper Club that burned a while back. It took 165 lives, that club in Kentucky. And then the article goes on, in the course of describing the organized crime ownership of this club, at the time of that fire, it was owned by the notorious Mo Dalitz, who again worked with Robert Mayhew and Howard Hughes and is now running La Costa out in California. That the Supper Club was purchased in 1967, as New York Times said, long history of organized crime, burned down. A man recently went to jail as part of the fire or starting it, but the point is that the mob ran it and controlled it, and 165 people who go there to have a good time were burned to death in that club and couldn't get out. In Palo Alto, the home of the Stanford Institute, the emergency crews were training for disasters and drills and getting ready, as I say, for the Office of Emergency Service. Before I finish this program tonight, I want to give you the phone number of a station called Apology, area code 212-255-2748. You can call Apology, and there's an answering service, and when it answers, you can apologize for any crime that you've done. I called them up this week when I saw their number, and I said, "This is Pat Nixon, and I want to apologize because Richard had a part in the killing of John Kennedy, and he's riddled with guilt, and I hope that you'll absolve him of this terrible crime." This organization, must be doing away with the Catholic Church or the confessions. This is the dial tone telephone booth confession box of the 1980s, and people are calling up and telling how they're homosexuals, how they've murdered themselves, and the idea of Apology is to provide a way for people to apologize for their wrongs against people without jeopardizing themselves. This is in the Washington Post. Apology will automatically tape record your anonymous phone call. Do not identify yourself and call from a phone pay phone to prevent tracing your call. Describe in detail what you have done and how you feel about it. And you give your statements, and when the call is collected, they will be played to the public at a time and a place, and they will advertise. Now, I wonder if they'll advertise Pat Nixon's call that she apologized for Richard Nixon's crime. So if you want these played at a public time and you want to apologize for some public official who's committed the crime of murdering the president or the senator, or the civil rights leaders, or leading us to World War III, or setting fire to buildings in order to get even with another mobster or so forth, call Apology. That's 212-255-2748. Give them a ring, and don't be bashful. You can be Marina Oswald apologizing for lying about your husband when you knew you were both agents and you came to this country to make a lot of money, and you want your citizenship now. And she said last week she's been very quiet for 17 years. Or you can call up and say, "I'm Mrs. John Connolly, and I want to apologize for John, who talks in his sleep about inviting John Kennedy to Dallas, Texas, when he knew he was going to be murdered. And I should have told the Warren Commission, but I didn't want to tell them because I was embarrassed. It wouldn't be patriotic." You can get your Noxy together and call this number. Each of you that is listening or has a tape cassette could invest. After 11 o'clock, it's very cheap, or before 8 in the morning, it's very cheap. And you can apologize for them for one of their crimes. Or use a payphone. As I say, I called as Pat Nixon. I use my home phone, so that if that call comes through, that's one way of my checking to see if the house is bugged, because I'm sure I'll never hear from Apology again. And if I do, we'll know where that came from. 212-255-2748. Next week and in the weeks to come, I have a few articles, about 50 or 60 right now, of things that I said would happen that came true. We'll wind up 1980 with sort of a "I told you so," just as in 1972 I said Ronald Reagan would follow Richard Nixon. I thought Spiro Agnew would have his turn before Reagan, but Nixon saw to it that he got out. But I'm going to do about 50 articles, hopefully the next 2 to 3 weeks, that are in the news this week or later than this week, just the November 25th, the December headlines or stories of I Told You So, where I predicted things that all came true in the last week. Now, that's a good feeling. A private researcher, an independent person with no outside funds to support me, just using my own intelligence and noxy, reading books and articles and listening to people, being interviewed by people, going wherever I could or could afford to meet other researchers, you can see events from the past that shape your future. And when certain events come down, such as the MGM hotel burning the way it did, you know, before the confession begins or the investigators come in, arson was there. Once you see a pattern, once you study patterns of history, you know what's happening that next day, and you also know how to predict the future. Now, that is the joy of doing the research. It is a sad world. I read those horrors of different countries like Somalia and Uganda and various countries where there's genocide or torture. There are bad things happening, but there are also good things. And once you set your course of what you want to do with your life, you can make the good things happen. There are a lot of people writing books, exposing, sharing information. And as we go into 1981, and I'll make that transition from tonight, for the next 3 weeks, we have to think seriously about the future and not be crybabies when things come down, but be determined to take some control of our lives. And the best way to do that is to listen and study and talk with other people. In the meantime, I've got to close. Our time is up. I'll be back with you next week. This is Mae Bressel in Carmel, California.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Bressel. This program originates from Carmel, California.